This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind a Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
I know what you're thinking. Mine's bigger than yours, right? Isn't that fair? Throw it away. All right? All right! They're coming! The rats are coming! Thousands of them!
Tell me about Disneyland.
They got tons of popcorn there.
Yeah.
And all you gotta do is go climb a tree to go eat it.
It was a night like any other night. Then something happened.
Oh, good Lord! It's unbelievable. It's horrible.
Hey, wait! There's something weird here.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, my name's Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic wasteland, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1960s to today. Check us out at reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family. Welcome to a special edition of the Really Awful Movies Podcast, episode 81B. We're chatting with Chris Bond, co-creator and director of the incredibly bloody and over-the-top and excellent Evil Dead, the musical. Stay tuned to the end of this chat as we've got an amazing special giveaway.
So, on this very special episode of the Really Awful Movies Podcast, we are talking about Evil Dead, the musical, which is returning to Toronto February 12th to 28th, 2016. As part of the North American tour produced by Starbucks Entertainment and playing at the Randolph Theatre. We're talking with Chris Bond, who's one of the show's creators, the original director and composer, and is directing the current North American tour. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, speaking about Evil Dead the musical, I mean, you were there from the very beginning, so let's go back and talk about that. Tell me about the genesis of Evil Dead the musical.
Oh man, we're going way back. This is 2002.
Right.
We got this ball rolling. Actually, the truth is, it might have been happening even a little bit before. A bunch of friends who are going to Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on a theater class, and we're kind of working on this picture musical idea. So me and a group of friends cooked up Pulp Fiction, a musical. So I thought it would be the greatest musical ever. Kind of tricky and fun. But that kind of got the ball rolling is, hey, you know, I'd really love to create a cult musical that could stand on its own and be hilarious. And something, even something for guys, like a musical for guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm a dude. And I like musicals. I'm one of those handful of guys, like, doodly dudes, who like musicals.
Right.
There needs to be more shows for me. So I was... That's when I was starting to talk with my good friend George Weinblatt, who's a writer on the show and one of the creators of myself. And we were talking about doing something. And around about the same time, this is maybe 2001, I watched Evil Dead 2, slapstick comedy and buckets of blood.
Horrible yet amazing, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I just thought, hey, can you imagine that on stage live? That would be awesome. And that's just kind of what got the ball rolling. And you started talking about doing an Evil Dead musical. I originally was going to be Evil Dead 2, the musical, mm-hmm. and then George was like, you know, we all these great characters in Evil Dead 1. What if you squished the two together? I was talking even better idea. So then it became Evil Dead 1 and 2, the musical. And so we had some ideas and a treatment and a couple of song ideas. And that's when we called, we were like, well, we should probably get the rights for this.
Right.
So, you know, this is back in the early 2000s when, you know, not everybody did movies as musicals like they do now. And so we literally went on the, you know, the World Wide Web, as it were, found Bruce Campbell's business email, and just emailed the guy and said, hey, dude, a bunch of Canadian kids, is it okay if we do a musical version of Evil Dead? And he was actually, like, really helpful. And he said, oh, you know, here's the people you need to speak with, and these are the guys who have the rights. And we ended up getting them, and we couldn't believe it. And so there we were with this idea, and we were licensed and official, and they let us put on the show in a bar in Toronto, and it blew up from there. And then, you know, how many years later, 14 years later, mm-hmm. we're still putting the show on, and it's touring around the world, it's been in different languages. And that's weird, seeing, you know, the show you wrote in English being done in Spanish, and you understand any of it, but it's still amazing and fun and great. So, yeah, we're very fortunate and to come back to Toronto, which is a city that we started the show. We love the show. We love this town. I mean, most of us are from Toronto. It's really exciting to be back here as a part of our tour, which has been, I don't know, it's been amazing. We're excited. I hope you can tell that I'm excited.
I can tell. I can tell. I'm excited.
It's pretty fun.
I can tell. I'm really excited. I mean, I've seen the show twice before, back when you guys were at the Diesel Playhouse. And I can't wait to see it again. Now, going back to the beginning, I mean, when you first performed back in 2003, you were playing in the Transat Club here in Toronto.
That's right.
And
you know your stuff. I
did my research. And I want to ask you, I mean, first of all, two things. Number one, I mean, you mentioned getting the approval of both Bruce Campbell and also Sam Raimi. I mean, that must have been just completely exhilarating for you guys. Would you guys have gone ahead and done it if you hadn't got the approval?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, no one's ever asked me that. Well, kudos to you. I don't know, because the truth was, to be totally honest, we wrote this treatment and then stopped and said, hey, before we take another step, let's see if we can at least be allowed to do this. You know what I mean? And we just started barking up trees, and we got licensed. I mean, it took a long time, and it got the degrees of our legitimacy, like, changed over the years. At first, it was kind of a handshake agreement, and then it was like, oh, the show actually is something, and it's going somewhere. Let's, you know, really get some real paperwork together and become partners. And, you know, Sam Raimi, especially, has been extremely generous over the years with the rights, not only in North America, but abroad. I couldn't tell you if you've ever seen the show. I'm told you watched a video of it and you loved it. And I've also been told that there's an Evil Dead the Musical poster in his office.
Oh, wow.
Who knows? Fact or fiction? Someone told this to me. I can't say I've ever met the man. I've met his lawyers, but not him. And so would we have continued if we weren't authorized? I don't know. Maybe we wouldn't have. I'm not sure. I mean, we could always have been a parody, mm-hmm. but that's not really what we wanted to do. We were fans of the films, and we wanted to do, like, an honest send-up and just kind of take the same feeling that we got from Evil Dead 2, which was this horror comedy slapstick kind of out there ridiculous movie, a genre that I really feel like Sam Raimi helped kind of invent, if you ask me, like a horror comedy. We probably just take the next ridiculous step, which is to have zombies in advance. And so I don't know if it would have been in the same spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the question is, we'll never know, because they said yes. So that's all that really mattered to us. We were like, all right, we're gold.
Excellent.
And they were very cool about it and said,
I did. Yep.
Chestnut.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You did. You're good. So we opened on like the worst night you could open, but it ended up being amazing because instead of doing it at Transact with like 120 seats, we ended up doing it on the road. We literally pulled whatever set pieces we could and dumped them on the lawn at the Transact. Had the band play a cappella, unplugged, and the actor showed up and we just did the best we could. And instead of 100 people, we had like 600-700 people watching.
Awesome.
We had cars up on the sidewalk with their headlights on as lights, because it got dark. And the lighting guy was like with big flashlights, and it was the weirdest thing ever. But it was, what a celebration of turning that frown upside down. Like, we had this horrible blackout, and people are run out of power right on the street, and they caught this show. And it was the first time we ever did it. Who knew that it was going to go on for as long as it's been, and mm-hmm. continue to go? It's been pretty cool.
I mean, good on you, because, I mean, theater people are notoriously superstitious, for that being your opening night, and to have that happen, yeah. I could...
Oh, it's crazy.
You almost think, well...
What made it even more crazy was that we caught all this great print and media out of it. The night of the Eastern Blackout, some people were scared, others were enjoying musical comedy with blood. But, it was crazy. And so all of a sudden we were in Time Magazine, and we were all over the Star. So it just gave us this media coverage and exposure that we couldn't afford, right? We didn't have the money to pay for it. So that was a real blessing. And so right after that, the show took off, and we were sold out. And it was really special. And I could actually give the actors some money. That was neat. I was like, guys, remember this thing that we're going to do for nothing? Here. It's not a lot, but we made money. I can't get over this. So it was really great. But what a fun, amazing start. And other cool things about it is that the group that we started with in that little bar, if you could believe, stayed with the show for a long time. Ryan Ward, who played Ash, was with us all the way till 2013. I mean, he did the show... I don't know, 8 times? He's just a guy we found at an open audition, walking off the street. Literally, nobody knew who he was. And he was Ash, and he killed it, and he was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We were fortunate. And just some of the designers that started with us in that little rickety bar, it might have been one of the first shows they ever did, working professionals, and still with the show. It's pretty special, it all started right here in Toronto, which mm-hmm. is special for us.
And did you have not having seen it when it was at the Transact, I mean, I was aware of it at the time, and I wanted to see it, but I didn't actually get to see it until you guys moved to the Diesel, but
mm-hmm.
did you have the Splatter Zone at that point, or was that something that kind of came with the show's evolution?
Another great question. Yeah, I think I've done the show so many times, I might be remembering wrong. If I recall, there wasn't an official Splatter Zone at the start. But we knew we were working with blood, and there was like a warning, look, if you sit here, you might get wet. So less of a, hey guys, we're going to dump blood on you, and more of just know that you could get a little bit of blood in your beer if you sit here. And then people loved it. People were like, oh, I got blood on me. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. We're onto something here. And then it was, all right, this area is where we're going to hose you down blood. And as the show continued and grew and was developed, we just kept adding more crazy ways to fire the blood and more blood and a bigger splatter area. And no lies. It's our top ticket. In fact, for Toronto, I think we're mostly sold out of Splatter Zone already, just like that. Mm. It's fun as hell. You're not going to get more interactive with a musical than a Splatter Zone, and we're not just completely gratuitous with the blood too. Like, we actually find cool ways to shoot it, and it's a part of our special effects. So it's right off the hop, I guess we had an idea, but we had no idea we'd take on the mic. But
mm-hmm. Well, it's funny. I mean, the first time I saw it, I was seeing a girl at the time who, like me, was a huge Evil Dead fan. And right away we had the idea, well, let's go see the musical. And I asked, did you want to see the Splatter Zone? And she goes, she was sort of reticent. I was kind of wanting to, but at the same time I was like, eh, yeah, I don't know what to expect. So we sort of sat just right behind it. So I think we got a little bit of splatter, but not much. But
I apologize.
No,
I'm supposed to get you wet. We worked really hard on our target practice, and I guess we screwed up that day. So I apologize.
But what amazed me was the ones that were in the splatter zone were all wearing white, and yeah, they just wanted to get as messy as possible. And during intermission, they were, you know, proudly showing their shirt and saying, like, I got splattered. Look how much splatter got on me. Look how much blood it got on me. And I think these were people who have seen the show numerous times and just kept on wanting to go back and get more and more splattered. So,
well, the funny thing is we do a lot of repeat business. We have a lot of fans that come back over and over again. So that's another reason why. Like, we got to keep changing it up and making it bigger and badder.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's another Easter egg when you come the next time, and more blood, and so you can walk out of there and be like, oh, man, this was great. Mm-hmm. Even better than the last time, you know. But you know, it's funny, if you're sitting where you were just suggesting, right behind the spotter zone, it's almost a show within a show, because you're,
yeah,
sitting there and you're watching the show, and you're also watching these crazies get hammered with blood, you know, and while you're like, I'm glad I'm not there, but other people are like, oh man, I wish I was in there. It was like a blast. So it's kind of interesting, and you get a really unique blend, a mix of audience members, because you have like our crazy hardcore fans, and a lot of young people. But the show on its own stands alone as a great, fun musical. And so just people who are looking for a great musical or just a fun night for a hilarious show that might not be, you know, cult genre viewers like me, they come to this thing and they're like, wow, this is a fun show. And oh my God, who are these weirdos in the front? And oh, look at this blood. Oh, it's crazy. And it's definitely like water cooler talk. Like, I went to the show and they dump all this blood on these people, and, you know, it's just crazy. And so you get a really nice mix of audience, and we really feel that we're a show that caters to a lot of different people, and it's not just horror nerds, mm-hmm, or, you know, music theater snobs that, like, will enjoy, you know, people that, young people, older people, everybody.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, you appeal, as you said before, I mean, you appeal to everybody. If you're a fan of the movie, you're going to find so many things to love, so many wonderful Easter eggs. I mean, the songs are incredible. I mean, I'll read off a few sample titles. Of course, Cabin in the Woods, Look Who's Evil Now, my favorite, What the Fuck Was That? Do the Necronomicon, All the Men in My Life,
yeah,
Keep Getting Killed by Candarian Demons, and on and on and on. I mean, the songs are great.
Thank you.
You completely pay homage to the films, you know, 1, 2, even a little bit of Army of Darkness. So, yeah, for those who are, I mean, obviously, like, Evil Dead is huge, and people know those movies backwards, forwards, front and back, you name it, sideways, upside down. They'll love it, but then for those that are just there out of curiosity, like, I wonder what this sort of play is all about, I've never seen the movie, I think they will still come away having a wonderful, fun time at the theater.
Well, that's the idea, is that, you know, we don't want to make the show inside. Like, the show is not for just the fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if somebody who doesn't know the movies comes to the show, they have to enjoy it. So there has to be something that's palpable for that audience. But at the same time, if you are a fan, they give you all those iconic moments and the imagery and those things that you best remember from the films. And from tiny little things to big broad stroke ideas and lines and cheese and sets and all the way out of the film. So if you're a fan, then listen, judging by what's going on in Star Wars right now, everyone's pretty defensive about their favorite, you know, 80s and 70s cult classics.
Oh, yeah.
So you gotta pay homage to the fans, and you gotta do right by the fans. And make sure you're on point, and you're not screwing with their favorite things. And so, with our musical, we made sure that it was a tribute to the original trilogy, and that you got those big moments that you wanted. But at the same time, we were still able to make it so that honest Joe's walking in for the first time doesn't know boo about that. I just can walk in and say, "Wow, that was a lot of fun. I laughed my ass off. That was crazy." what a fun night. And I think we've achieved it. And we've continued to develop the show over the years, and we really feel like the show that we have in the ring in Toronto is just outstanding, and we're thrilled to be doing it. And yeah, so it's not just for Evil Dead fans. It's for everybody.
And, I mean, now is an amazing time to bring it back because, I mean, of course, Evil Dead is back on TV with Ash versus Evil Dead.
It's amazing. I don't know if you've been watching it, but it's great. And, I mean, listen, I'm sure a lot of fans love the reimagining of that film that came out a few years ago. It was very cool. It was neat. Mm-hmm. It was fun. But it wasn't the spirit of the trilogy. And this TV series is. And I think for fans of Evil Dead, this series is just everything they wanted and more. I've really been enjoying it. And, yeah, there hasn't been a better time than now. You know, Ash vs. Evil Dead is just out there. It's a top series, and it's on people's minds. And we want to give them more. And, hey, you know, there's these musicals out there that you can check out. And when we were touring, it was right before the show opened, I believe, or before the series opened. So now that the series has been on and it's kind of garnered all the attention and reviews and fandom that it has, it is a good time. So we're excited even for next year. Season 2 has already been demanded by Stars, so we're pumped, and it's great. And I love it. I love all the choices they've been making, and it's fun, and all the imagery, and it's great. You see all the things you remember from the film, and yeah, a bunch of new stuff, so I really dig it.
Oh, it's awesome. I love it. I'm a Torontonian, so obviously I have hometown pride, and I love the fact that this show started in Toronto, but yet you guys have played the world. You've played, you went to Montreal for Just for Laughs. Beyond that, you were played off Broadway in New York, you were in Tokyo, Seoul, Las Vegas, where I believe the production was called 4D. Is that anything different than what we've seen here in Toronto?
The Vegas show? Yeah, the Vegas show is different. Not the like professional touring model. It's a local production, but they do a real nice job. I've seen the show once, and I know it's grown and developed since then. Actually, they just moved to a new, bigger theater. I think it's in its fourth year, so we've been really blessed. Sirk Michael is a great producer down in Las Vegas, and he has been with the show. And I think he first just did it as a show, like not on the strip, just as a local production, and it was so popular that he was able to turn that into a production on the strip, and it just moved to a larger, more beautiful venue, and we're excited for them. But yeah, 4 years. Insane. It's great.
So, something you created way back when you were in university, and now here we are, you know, well over 10 years since you created it, probably going on closer to 15, and did you have any inkling when you guys were just sort of workshopping this around that this would be something that would endure so long and people would love it so much?
You know what? I'll say this. When we first started doing it, it was because we just wanted to do something. You know, we were all young kids. We were just out of university. No one would give us jobs, so we were making our own. And I remember doing a tech run in the Transact. And I was there, and I was with some other people, and I said, we're all talking to each other. We're like, this doesn't suck. Like, this is pretty all right. Like, you know, this isn't just a steamy turd that we're putting on here. Like, this show makes sense, and it's fun, and wow, you know, hey, good job. We had no idea it was going to live past the Transact Club. We had no idea it was going to get the response from audiences that it did and the interest in the, you know, commercial theater community that it did. Yeah, we went from the Transact to the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal, and from there, we went right to Off-Broadway. And then, so, you know, just those steps, those, like, two steps from the bar in Toronto to, you know, the biggest comedy festival in the world, and we were their showcase show that year. And basically that presentation was for all the possible presenters throughout the world, like, hey, who wants to get in on this show? And we had a lineup of all these different producers from everywhere who wanted to take the show, and they had to, like, bid on it. It was crazy. All these different groups, and we had to find the one that matched what we liked, what we wanted, and what Sam Raimi wanted to do. And at this point, now Sam was very involved.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam was like, I want to go to New York, and so we picked pairing with some young producers and did the off-Broadway production. And right after that, started rolling out Toronto productions and the tour. And ran in Toronto for like 2 years almost. It's crazy. Like, we never dreamed of, you know, of any of that happening. And it's what I mentioned earlier about seeing it in like Spanish on YouTube, or I didn't go, but George went to Korea and had the Sonic Korean show. It's insane. Then, you know, having to approve scripts from other countries. Like, I remember, like, there's been a German production, and they send me scripts to approve, but I can't read German, so I just say, yeah, it's fine. But, you know, good luck. Have fun. It's totally crazy, but it's the first thing we ever did, and it's our baby, and you know, we're still nurturing it today. Like, I still continue to direct all the professional productions of it to make sure that it's the intended way to put on this show, like the big Broadway-style version of the show. And the writers, like, all of us are still involved, George and Frank, and to have some of the same designers who were in the bar originally who are still on the show. It's nuts, but yeah, there's definitely some civic pride going on, you know. When we're in the U.S., we don't talk too much about us being Canadian, but when we're at home, it's pretty cool, and we're pretty proud of it. But yeah, it's exciting.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, like I said before, it's coming back February 12th to 28th at the Randolph Theater, and I'm certainly going to take in at least one performance, if not two or three. Is there anything new that I can expect that I didn't see back in the Diesel Playhouse?
Since the Diesel, sure, yeah, there's some new stuff. It's mostly different blood stuff and different effects and some different lines, new jokes, all kinds of stuff. But some mostly special effects and blood effects. We have one blood effect that we added last year or 2 years ago that just magic on stage. You'll see it be like, that's it, wow, amazing. And we went from squirt guns to, you know, pneumatics and air pressure poses, and like, just we went from like buckets of blood to gallons and gallons. It's great, so I definitely think you'll enjoy it. The Diesel was a great space, and we love doing the Diesel, but definitely all the same things that you love from that show are there, and some even new cookies and fun that you'll enjoy. You'll love it.
I know I will. I mean, like I said, as an Evil Dead fan, I pretty much loved it before I even saw it, you know, just the idea of Evil Dead the musical. But, you know, it's funny, because you mentioned Star Wars. I personally love The Force Awakens, and, you know, with caveats, of course. But, I mean, it's amazing how fandom is now. People are so, I don't know, like, things are weird now. You know, like, it's like, when you do something, and you do something that, you know, would be very, kind of, this is what the fans will want, and yet people are just waiting to pick things apart nowadays. It's kind of hilarious, but the one thing that's very interesting about the Evil Dead franchise, I think, is that people just love it. They love everything about it. Yeah. You know, you did mention the remake. I don't really consider the remake to be part of, you know, to be canon. I know Bruce made a little cameo at the end, but it wasn't it wasn't Evil Dead for me. I mean, after Evil Dead is Evil Dead, and when it comes to Evil Dead, people are just, you know, fans of Evil Dead are diehard. I mean, I even have a Necronomicon tattoo on my elbow I just got. So, I mean,
no way.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'll show it to you if I see you when I go.
I want to see it. That's awesome.
But I want to ask you, I mean, because, you know, you said you were workshopping Pulp Fiction. I mean, that would have been a lot of fun. But what is it, in your opinion, about Evil Dead as a franchise? I'm talking about the movies and the character of Ash and so on, that has created such fervent loyalty and endurance all these years?
Wow, that's a great question. I wish I had a great answer for it. I mean, I think what was unique about the Evil Dead trilogy was that it created this new subgenre of film that I touched on earlier. This kind of horror, comedy, really visual, all this blood and gore, but it was done in a comic light, but not tongue-in-cheeky, like, not necessarily, but maybe it was a little Three Stooges. I guess it is. I don't know. It was just so unique. And the trilogy, each film is a new idea, you know? The first film is obviously intended to be a horror film, but it was in 1983 or whatever it was, so not the scariest. So to me, to a fan watching it, I think the first time I saw it was in the late 90s, so you know, I was like, whoa, that wasn't scary, but really cool, and really this and that. And then the second film came out, and they embraced it. They said, instead of covering it up, let's just roll with the comedy of the silliness of the slapstickiness and how crude the effects were. You know, and they just went with it, and it was hilarious, and it was fun. And then all of a sudden, they went from that to this kind of eerie now film, which is Army of Darkness, an action, epic, comedy adventure like The Mummy or like an Avengers movie, you know, almost even, like, that has that warmth and fun, but it's still this epic adventure with effects and combat and everything. I don't think that was really around, like, especially in a trilogy, like, it really ran the gamut. And so I think fans were just, it was so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And out there and crazy. And I don't think there was that big, this is way before this big zombie movement that is so now, thanks to The Walking Dead and, you know, the onslaught of zombie films that we've seen over the last decade. And listen, I've written one and had one produced, so...
A Little Bit Zombie, right?
Well, check out A Little Bit Zombie
on
Netflix. I just think there was something so compelling about it that I think audiences really gravitated to. In a similar vein to maybe, I don't want to compare it completely to Star Wars, but, you know, you had all those kind of cheesy serial space odysseys in the late 70s and mid-70s, and then Star Wars was just next level, you know, with the effects and borrowed from great kind of Kurosawa kind of plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, great storytelling, and I think that was unique. And so fans just jumped on board, and that's what it does for me. Like, I gotta really see something unique and fun for me to jump into the fandom. And I think Evil Dead is comparable, just as an entity, as a fandom entity, like Star Wars is. I don't know. What do you think? Am I way off?
No, I don't. I mean, I think you're completely bang on. I think the character of Ash is just somebody that, you know, everybody can just relate to. He's hilarious, he's kind of kick-ass, but he's kind of klutzy, he's kind of stupid, but he's smart when he needs to be, he's goofy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got amazing lines, obviously, but those didn't start to come until, you know, the second and third films. The other thing, too, with horror and comedy, I mean, it's a very dicey proposition for a lot of horror fans like myself. I mean, some of them are amazing, and some of the best horror films, you know, that we put up there in the Mount Rushmore of horror are horror comedies, like your Reanimators, your Return of the Living Dead, etc., but then some of them just really do fall flat. Evil Dead just totally walks that balance perfectly, and that's the thing also when you're making a musical or some sort of adaptation of something, which is, in effect, I mean, you're paying homage to it, to what makes it so good, but there is some element of parody, but your parody comes from affection.
Yeah, you know, I try to steer away from parody because we're definitely honoring the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not we're basically taking all their characters and then just exaggerating them for the
exactly.
stage, you know,
mm-hmm.
and finding new fun, or fun that works within their world, you know? Like, for instance, in our musical, you kind of hit a part of the show where not a lot happens in the movie between this moment to this moment. So we created things that would give more weight to characters. So, for instance, Ed's song, where we have Ed singing about being a big part payment. So obviously we're taking a creative license there.
That was awesome.
But we make fun of, and it's a tribute to... So in that sense, it's a parody of this character who kind of looks heroic and comes and goes and instantly turns into a zombie and no one gives a shit about him. So... as a fan of the original trilogy, it makes even more sense, and it would speak in a parody kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
We try to keep it real. Like, when we have the big S-Mart scene, I mean, the big song of being at S-Mart is right out of that same feeling you got when he's kicking ass in S-Mart in the Army of Darkness. The cabin in the woods, I mean, all the fun bumps from the show are actual through lines and moments in the story arc of the films.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not taking a crazy license and we're not just trying to be cheeky all the time.
Mm-hmm.
These demons are real, and we're afraid for real. And when Bruce Campbell takes a punch in the face, he sells it like a real punch in the face, and that's what makes it funny.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the same way. Like, our demons, they're scary, and the fear is real, and the fact that they're afraid of something that looks ridiculous is where the comedy lives. So I don't know if, like, parody is the right word. But,
no, I mean, when I said parody, I sort of meant, I mean, yeah, I guess the Ed song would definitely be a good example, is that it's loving homage and sort of just kind of poking fun at certain elements, but at the same time, I mean, it's not like, hey, like, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, we're more clever than the material.
Yeah.
No, it's you guys are totally, totally respecting the material, and the audience responds to that, and they just have an absolute wonderful time with it, so...
I mean, I'm just sensitive to that word, parody. It's not parody, I don't know.
It's not parody.
You're all right, we do take some creative license and say, all right, well, we gotta give weight to these characters, like Annie's song, All the Men of My Life Keep Getting Killed, I Can't Hear Anything. It's like, yes, that does not happen in the musical, in the movie. But, you know, we just kind of need to know that kind of every man she knows dies. So let's roll with it.
Like, exactly.
Let's make a lament and add new guys that she also knew for 5 minutes, but also turned into zombies and they're demons and died. And so, you know, that's where it kind of lovingly fun and there's those hints. But we try to stay true. We
for
really
sure.
do. And we play it as real as we can. And that's why the silly works so well.
Yes.
And I think you're right. There's a lot of these, some of these films fall on its face because it doesn't toe that line very well. Where the Evil Dead trilogy, it's the real everyman story. It's just a dude working at S-Mart. It could be anybody. Any one of us could turn into this ass-kicking hero. And maybe it just speaks to anybody, any fan. It's really cool. It's fun. And you know what? There's an Americana, if you ask me, that's kind of fun about it. Like, Bruce Campbell becomes the all-American ass-kicker. You know what I mean? Especially by Army of Darkness, and you're really seeing it in the television series.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot. Like, it's so underlined.
Yeah.
Which is a real fun. Like, he knows who he is, and he's proud, and nothing gonna change.
Yeah.
And he owns it, and I think that's what's that great character. And you really see that arc between Ash, literally, in the canon, if you look at the whole canon, Ash at the beginning of the first Evil Dead film, where he's this young college student, bright-eyed, warm. He's not even an alpha male like Scott is. When
gets
in that cabin.
He's a nerd in the first one, yep.
To Ash versus the Army of Darkness, and he is who he is, man. Dreams of Jacksonville.
That's one of my favorites.
You know, like, opens up the book by accident,
yep.
You know, he's got a stripper in his pants, or heck, you know, whatever it is. And it's fun, and the fans love it. And so, I feel like Evil Dead connects just on a really special level for a lot of fans.
Right.
And it's just, people gravitate to it because it's so unique and cool. And even now, this zombie, time, everyone loves zombies. Zombie time! Zombies can do no wrong. You always end up going back to Evil Dead, Night of the Living Dead. You know, the real cornerstones of the zombie fandom, you know, if you ask me. And, you know, Walking Dead is really pumping a lot of buzz to keep those genres out there as well. So it's great. It's a great time to be a genre fan, especially if you're into horror or zombies. It's, you know, it's so mainstream to dig this stuff that wasn't mainstream when we dug it. When we liked these Night of the Living Dead, you know, it wasn't the cool thing to do, and now it is. So it's great. For me, this is one of my favorite movies.
Although I will argue that they're not zombies in Evil Dead, they're demons. There's a bit of a difference.
No, you are correct. They're not zombies, they're deadites.
They're deadites, exactly. And yeah, getting back to that whole, I love that line where he goes, "The city's so nice, they named it Jacksonville." Like, it's just the way it's such a non sequitur line, but the way he utters it with such conviction, it's just like, that's Ash right there.
It is.
You know?
It's great. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's.
So I really feel like even when we're talking about this, the films are also different. The musical kind of takes the next ridiculous step, right? Into shit like just this craziness. They're having these zombies dance and singing and having Ash, you know, doing his ass kicking while he's singing songs and dancing. It just seems. like it fits with the Evil Dead universe. I just as a sidebar, I had a chance to do another show a few years ago, Night of the Living Dead Live.
Right, which I have not seen. I really did want to see. Yeah,
it was a very cool show, and I did that with George Romero, and having George Romero do the show with us, and you can't just do the movie, right? You gotta reinvent the wheel. So we reinvented it as, and even still not as a parody. We wanted it to be this true to the films, a comedic version, and then go somewhere completely different. You know what I mean? Because, let's face it, Night of the Living Dead is a lot of guys nailing up windows with, you know, boards and stuff. So, you know, you gotta do more than that for the menus. So, we found new ways and retold the story and created a new story. And George was like, yes, like, this is how we've had other people say we want to do this show, and we haven't let them do it, but you have a really good sense of why it should be done, because you're doing a whole new way, and it's totally original. And we kind of felt that when we did Evil Dead, it was the same thing. Like, we weren't just doing the movies on stage. We were creating this whole world and this whole new energy. And we definitely took some liberties, but stayed very true, and fans really responded, and we were happy. Same with Night of the Living Dead. People, fans loved it. It did just quite well, and it's still being licensed around the world, which is great.
And I was just saying, I'm not much, I mean, you know, I do enjoy the theater, but I'm more of a movie guy, so I don't know much about, you know, terminology and stuff, but I'm going to say, like, you know, the stage choreography, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, like, in Evil Dead 2, Bruce Campbell, Ash, he gets the shit kicked out of him, you know, on stage. It Ryan Ward, when I saw him back, you know, back in the playoffs, like, he is, looks like he's getting the shit kicked out of him, you know, like, it's...
Oh, man. Listen, you know what they say in Toronto? If you can do Evil Dead, the musical, you can do any show. It literally runs the gamut for any actor, because it has just about everything you could have in a musical for the most part. It's got the singing, the dancing, the acting, the stage combat, the puppetry, the breakables, you know, the blood, weird effects, everything. It's just, there's so much to it. And once you've done a show like this, and look, the choreo isn't easy. It's like real choreography. The singing is not easy. It's hard-ass singing. And, you know, it stands up. It's a great work of musical theater on its own, but also it's cheesy and campy and fun and ridiculous. And we try to toe that line really well. And any actor who's done our show does our show and does, and does, I don't know, anything else after, does Pippin after, and they're like, wow, Pippin's a breeze, you know? Like, if I can do Evil Dead, I can do The King and I in my sleep. So, it's a real task. And wow, Ryan Ward, that guy took a beating from us for years, and that role, like, we wanted to definitely embrace that Bruce Campbell slapstick, beat yourself up, you know. And we do real safe. We have a fight by, like, those are all, like, very strategically choreographed and for safety, and but you gotta go balls out, and it's a big physical challenge for our Ashes. And Trent Mills, who plays Ash now, is the best Ash we've had since Ryan Ward, and he's just fantastic, and he's got it, and he knows it, and he really goes for it the same way that Ryan did all those, for all those years. And has the look and has the machismo and can really knock the shit out of himself. So he's really done a great job. And we're thrilled to get to showcase Trent and the rest of his great cast in Toronto. Trent is actually from the U.S. The rest of the cast are all local Torontonians, and they've been touring, so it's been amazing.
Wow.
So yeah, you're gonna come and see Trent. You know, knock some tape at it. So it's fantastic.
Well, I can't wait to see it again. I mean, I think it's been too long since I've seen it, to be honest with you. And I think maybe the greatest compliment I can give is, I mean, whereas I said I did not consider the remake to be canon whatsoever, I kind of consider the musical to be canon.
Oh, that's kind of neat to say. You know what? I think about it. All right, tell me if I'm wrong, but our show came out in the early 2000s. Yeah. And it's not that Evil Dead as a cult entity was buried and dead. anything like that, but it definitely wasn't on the forefront of people's minds. And then our musical came out, and I felt like it was drumming up that all of a sudden that franchise was getting some awareness that it didn't maybe have for a while. And so I'm not going to go ahead and take credit for generating all the interest which led to a remake and a TV series, but I like to feel that we had some small hand in just really nurturing that property and that franchise, and because they've been so generous to us that maybe it helped reinvigorate the brand.
Yeah.
And to some small degree. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. Sometimes I think on one of the, when they did the remake, there's a mention or something about the musical in the Blu-ray. You know, it's cool to just be included in a franchise, like people acknowledge, you know, it's these four movies and this amazing series and there's even a musical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we get that tag. We're like, hey!
Well, I mean, no, it's
amazing.
It's interesting because you said that, because in a sense you were sort of nurturing the property for a few years where there wasn't really any real Evil Dead coming out, and now we have Ash vs. Evil Dead, which is just what all the fans have been waiting for all these years. Who knows? Maybe without Evil Dead the musical, we wouldn't have Ash vs. Evil Dead.
I don't know if I'll go as far as saying that, but who knows, really? But I really feel like, you know, nobody was really talking about Evil Dead until the musical started to percolate. And it was the first of its kind. Like, since Evil Dead the musical has happened, there's been plenty of rip-offs. Right? You know, Silence of the Lambs the musical, Reanimator the musical, Toxic Avenger the musical. But we did it first. Like, mm-hmm. That was us.
And
Canadian kids.
Not only that, but I'm just looking at what's on Broadway. I mean, everything is, you know, a movie, the musical, you know? Be it Dirty Dancing, Footloose, Flashdance, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting about that is that I think, you know, had we not done this show, say we were trying to do it today, I don't think there's any way in hell we could do it. Just the way that musicals are, the rights to put on musicals are now negotiated as a part of, you know, when you're selling the property.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're making this movie, you'd never think in a million years about a musical version, but now... The studios are negotiating deals and selling it. They're including the stage rights, like, right away. Usually it was film and television rights. Now it's film, television, and stage rights. And so you can't just call these guys up and be like, hey, I want to do a musical with your movie. Is it cool? And they're like, yes. I mean, let's drop something. Now it's like, nope, this studio already owns it, or nope, this person already owns it. Or you'd be surprised. Everyone's making musical movies, but it's studios and like major Broadway producers who are making them. It's tough for a bunch of college kids who want to actually make the official and licensed version of anything nowadays, just based on how the business works now and the new business model for how to make musicals. And yeah, it all takes to peak off Broadway. Everybody wants recognition. Draw power, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I know that movie. I'll go see the musical. So it's tough, and I wonder if we would ever do it if we didn't do it back then. So,
well, it's interesting because, you know, as you were saying that, I was sort of thinking about parallels between the musical and the actual film Evil Dead, because Sam Raimi, his partners, Robert Tapper, whatever, Bruce Campbell, I mean, they were college kids, basically working outside the system, who were, you know, digging into their pockets, doing whatever they can to make that movie, and it was like the little film that could. It was this independent film that just blew up and, you know, became a cult classic and what have you. And would Evil Dead be made today the way it was made way back when it originally was made? I don't think so. Things have changed so drastically since. So, yeah, I think Evil Dead the musical, you know, the genesis, the evolution, in a lot of ways really does parallel Evil Dead the movie and the franchise.
And listen, I didn't agree with you more, and we knew that when we contacted them. You know, we all read the stories, and we're just a bunch of college kids, just like you guys. We got no money, just this great idea, and the balls to do it. Can you give us the thumb up, you know? And they did, and they were great. And it's exactly those guys. It was Rob Tapper. It was Bruce Bruce and Sam, and they were like, I guess that story really appealed to them. And they're like, yeah, you know what, go for it.
Awesome.
Go for it. So it was really cool, you know, and we thank our lucky stars that they were so generous. I would love to shake Sam's hand one day and thank him for being so cool about it. The truth is that Bruce has been a huge champion of the show. We've had him do Q&As a bunch of times. We've had, anytime he's done, and he's speaking at any kind of fan fest or con,
right.
Someone always asks about Evil Dead, and he's always saying it's amazing, you go see it, it's great. I know he's done stuff for the Vegas show. They've done Q's and AKAs and other stuff, and I'm sure it'll be a lot harder now because he's a TV star again.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been super generous and great, and, it just worked out. We felt really lucky.
It's funny because as you were saying that, and my mind is sort of flashing back to when I first saw Evil Dead the Musical, and I remember sitting there, and there was an announcement made that our next performance, Bruce Campbell, will be in the house. I was like, really?
Yeah, they probably paid twice the price, though. Like, hey, by the way,
yeah.
Tickets are still available. They're $5 million.
I mean, I was ecstatic to have seen it anyway, but I was like, really? The next show? Anyway, whatever. It was...
Yeah.
It was. No, I've met Bruce since, and you know he's a great guy. And what can he say about Bruce? He's Bruce. But
he's just that. He's Bruce.
So once again, your show will be coming back to Toronto February 12th to 28th at the Randolph Theater, and then you're going to be touring around. So for our listeners that aren't based in Toronto, where are you going after? As part of the tour.
Well, it's actually all the wraps right now, but we'll be talking more about what the future holds for Evil Dead. Right now, we're just doing this one-off in Toronto before we get on the tour, but we'll definitely be back on the road, possibly this summer, but if not, definitely in the fall. And we're actually kind of building that schedule now. So
perfect.
It's all coming together, and so always just check us out. You know, maybe follow us on Twitter at Evil Dead the Musical. Or follow us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on all those social medias. And because you never know when we're going to be in your town, so come check us out. In the meantime, if you're in Toronto, definitely come check out the Toronto production. And if you're in Las Vegas, check out the Las Vegas production. And then check out Ash vs. Evil Dead on Super Channel here in Canada. The shout out for Super Channel.
There you go, yep. Well, Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
To Toronto listeners of the Really Awful Movies podcast, we have a pair of tickets courtesy of Starvox Entertainment for the February 17th performance of Evil Dead the Musical. To enter, simply follow us on Twitter, awful_movies. And if you're already following us on Twitter, send us a direct message and you'll be entered in the draw. Also, we have a bunch of other really, really cool runner-up prizes, so we encourage everyone to enter. And be sure to listen to the Really Awful Movies podcast every weekend, new episodes. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you.